It's good to be with you today in the house of the Lord and see each one of you here. It's always good to see everybody come into the house of the Lord. As a minister, that really makes you feel good. Just appreciate everything that God does for us. I understand that the brothers had a good time yesterday, and I'm assuming the sisters probably did too. That's what we want. We want to see a fellowship. God's children, his sheep, fellowshipping together. That's what you should do, right? Draw from one another and so have a good time. And of course, as believers, we know that you keep it godly. That's what you want. You want to have a godly environment because you can't really find that out in the world.
Right.
There's very few things in the world that you can actually let, as Jesus said, you know, when you go into a city, if you, you know, let your peace come to it if it returns. But, you know, there's not much in this world that your peace can return from. Right? And so it's so good to be able to have fellowship together. And I was telling Brother Daniel, my wife and I were going somewhere the other night, and I noticed a trailer with a pontoon thingy like he's got, you know. And I said, man, that would look really good. You know, I think I could probably. And I said, that's kind of like Brother Daniel's. And now I said, no, it is Brother Daniel. It was him going somewhere with it. And so. But anyway, just glad everybody had a good time yesterday, and just know that the Spirit of the Lord is working among you. It's just good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, just go ahead and open to St. John chapter 16. St. John chapter 16, we're going to be reading verse 20 and 22. Jesus speaking said, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, but her hour, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. Paul is speaking about all the different things that happened in the Old Testament, how that they murmured and how they did all the different things that aggravated the Lord. And Paul says concerning those, he said, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we just want to tell you, Lord, again, as we do so many times, that we love you. And we thank you for this opportunity, this time, this place, and this people. Lord, we come together to fellowship around your word and to let your spirit move from one heart to the next. Lord, that we just be in an environment this morning where the things of eternity can drop down into our hearts. We ask, God, that you would take this service this morning and the environment, Lord, may it be such that it would be pleasing to you and be a help to your people. We pray, God, that you just come and speak to us, Lord. And may this morning I be able to minister, Lord, to these, your children, Lord. Lord, as a dying man to a dying people, for that's what we are. Not that we're dying, Lord, but our time on this earth is moving on and passing by. And so, Lord, we want to be faithful stewards. We want to be up and at it. And so we ask, God, this morning that you'd help us begin this service today. We give it in your hands. You may be seated. just going to title this today, Searching for God. And we'll start out by talking about a sermon Brother Branham preached. And the scripture we read this morning there in St. John is the scripture that Brother Branham read. And the sermon that he preached was called Birth Pains. I mean, he remembers that, Birth Pains. I know some of you may not have heard it. So, a very tremendous message, as most of his were. In that sermon, Birth Pains, you remember Brother Branham came up there and he began to read his opening scripture. And as he began to try and turn into the Bible, some pages in his Bible had stuck together and he couldn't find the scripture. And he kept trying and he couldn't find it. And he thought at first that the Bible had been a misprint, but it wasn't. It was the pages stuck together. And when he returned the page, he was looking for the next verse. And when he returned two pages, it looked like it was the next verse. But what he wanted to preach on wasn't there. And so while he was having this dilemma in front of all these hundreds and hundreds of people, a Catholic priest walks up and brings his Bible and tells Brother Branham, you know, read this. And there was some other little things that was said that this priest gives him. And so Brother Branham reads the scripture out of this priest. And this priest was like the hierarchy, you know, Archbishop of Metropolitan United States. He wasn't just some unknown person. He was a major figure in the Catholic Church. And he gave to Brother Branham his Bible. And so Brother Branham read from that and then handed it back to him and preached the sermon on birth pains. And as Brother Branham was going home that night and he stopped to get the kids a hamburger, the Lord spoke to him and said, and was referring to scriptures. Let me go back to that just for a moment, where when Jesus went into the synagogue and they delivered to him, the priest delivered to Jesus the scroll. And Jesus began to read out of the scroll. He was reading, I believe it was in Isaiah, where he was talking about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set free the captives and all the, you know, help the blind and all the different things that the promise of God would do. And when Jesus got to that portion of the scripture where he began to talk about declaring the vengeance of God, he stopped. Jesus did not read that portion of the scripture because that's for this day. Right. And so Jesus stopped on the part about saving everybody and all the helping those. He stopped there and he closed it up and he looked at him and he said, this day this scripture is fulfilled.
That's right.
In his day, that scripture of coming to be a sacrifice to help people, to set the captives free, all of that happened right there. And Jesus was able to say, this day this scripture is fulfilled. Jesus could not have read the rest of it talking about the vengeance of God that was to come. He couldn't read that and say, this day this scripture is fulfilled, because that wasn't for his day then. It's for now.
Right.
It would be, because it's just like any other scriptures. It has to come to pass at some point in the future. And so as Brother Branham was going home and he's going to stop to get a hamburger for the kids, the Lord speaks to him and says, as was his customs, he went into the tabernacle or the synagogue, and the priest handed to him the scroll. And what the Lord began to show Brother Branham was, is that second portion of the scriptures that Jesus didn't read, now Jesus is here today through the ministry and is going to fulfill that part.
Yeah.
Right? And so then Brother Branham comes back and preaches a sermon, this day this scripture is fulfilled.
Right.
Because like I said the other day, we are now in the day of the Lord,
right,
where God's having his way,
right,
the day of vengeance of God. Right? And so Brother Branham is preaching, preaches this. And so what I would just say that here it is, and all that unfolding about this day, this scripture being fulfilled, and the sermon title he's preaching on is birth pains. So I think we should listen to it, because God, just like we know that a real prophet of God, not a bunch of this nonsense, but a real prophet of God is a divine interpreter of the Word of God.
Right.
In other words, the Word is interpreted through his life.
Right.
You know, we've been burnt over with so many of this and that, and I'm this and I'm that, and this prophet and that prophet, and it's nonsense. A real prophet is an interpreter of God's word. God interprets it through that man's life, whether he wants to or not.
Right.
So Brother Branham didn't make those pages stick together. He didn't have that priest come up. God did that so that we might take notice that this day, this scripture, this portion of those scriptures is fulfilled. The day of vengeance of God.
Right.
is upon us. And so he's preaching birth pains. And in that sermon he talks about, as we read in the scriptures there, how that you know, when a woman is pregnant, in order for her to give birth to that child, she has to have birth pains. She has to have contractions, those pains. And Brother Ram said, each one as it comes, they're a little more terrific, a little stronger, a little more terrific. And incidentally, here's the thing. Birth pains are not there to hinder you. Those are there to help you deliver that thing.
Right?
Right? That thing, that child. It's there to help you deliver. So you've got to have pains. And so he was saying, you know, that's the way it is. And so for you to be able to bring forth, you have to have pains. And then Brother Branham shifted to the events of the time. And he said, we've had World War I. That was one birth pain. Because you see, this world has to pass away. And before the millennium can come, this one has to die. So there has to be birth pains showing that this one's passing away. And it has to pass away before we can have that blessed day that we're looking for. Has to happen. So here's a divine interpreter of the word standing here and saying, guess what? One of the birth pains was World War I. Had certain types of guns and certain types of tanks and so forth and different types of gases that they would have. Then he comes along and said, then we have World War II. He said, it's a more terrific birth pain because our weapons of war were even greater, much harder, and so many people would die because of it. And so he said, that's a greater birth pain. And he says, this world can't stand another birth pain because when she does, she's going to bring forth. Right? So he's showing us that when this World War III, when this time unfolds, it's happening. Because now, as he said, now we've got these nuclear weapons. We've got hydrogen bombs and cobalt bombs. And what do you think they're going to do with that? Like you said, man always is destroying himself. God doesn't destroy man. God doesn't, but man destroys himself.
Right.
So he makes all these weapons, and he has no better sense than just to use them. So now he's got the absolute ability to totally burn the whole planet over. I heard Brother Ram say yesterday, there won't even be a bug or a fly or insect left on this planet when it's over with. So it's here. But to see, you know, not to cause fear in you, but for you to get into God's program and realize there must be birth pains.
Right.
In order to bring forth what we need, there must be pains. And without them, you can't do it. And I know, you know, eat off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, it's good, but it's also evil.
Right.
And so man comes along and says, well, we'll make it to where you can have a baby without birth pains. We'll just cut your belly open and take the baby out. But you still got pains. And so, you know, God's way of making man and making woman, the way this works, there must be birth pains. And so, birth and death are kind of together. Neither one of them's easy. And so, I think I've mentioned this before, but you know, when you have a birth, you know, when that baby's birthed here, they left somewhere to come here. That spirit. Maybe you say, well, they just left the world of the womb. But they came here, and a birth into this realm means an absence from wherever they come from. And when we leave here, though it hurts us so much, and we hate to see someone pass on, but when they leave here, and we're saying goodbye here, they're going somewhere else where it's a hello.
Right.
And in order for them to appear over there, they have to disappear here. It's a normal process of life. It's God's way of unfolding things. And so we've got to get in sync with God's program. And when we see the cycles and we see the birth pains and we see all the things happening, it shouldn't be something we'd back off and scream and cry, but we should get in sync and say, praise God, the cycle's working. We're on our way. We're going to be birthed into that other side. This world will not always be what it is right now. God's going to have a millennium. But there has to be birth pains to get there. Jesus was telling his disciples when he said, I got to go away. And you know, you are not going to see me, but then you will see me. And they're like, well, we don't understand what you're talking about. How is it that you're going to go away and we won't be able to see you, but then we will be able to see you? And he says, you inquire about that? And they said, yes. And his answer was what we just read. He was telling them, disciples, listen, I must go, and you must be sorrowful. But while you're sorrowful, the world will be full of joy. Because they rejected the Messiah, they're rejoicing. Because God is being put under and no longer in schools, and LGBTQ and all that's being pushed, they're happy.
Right.
But what does that mean to you and I? It means oppression upon us. Right? So Jesus said, you're going to be sorrowful, but I'll come. I'll come back. You'll see me.
Yeah.
And when I come back, you'll have joy. And this joy no man will take away from you.
Right.
That's what he said.
Right.
In other words, what he's telling him was, I must go away, but when I come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, and I come into you, I'll bring a joy to you, and nobody will be able to take that experience away from you.
Right.
That's what he's saying. And that's exactly what happened. Because when he come back in the form of the Holy Ghost, he brought that peace and that joy to them that he said that they would get. And so that's when joy comes. You know, you know, each one of you, and I'm speaking about searching for God this morning. And every one of us should be searching for God. You may say, Brother Tony, I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost many years ago. But brother, sister, you need to be searching for God today. I don't care how many times you've had an experience with God, because there's something wrong with a person who calls himself Christian that aren't searching for God.
Right.
It's a continual process.
Yeah.
And that searching, this whole thing, it's not easy. It's a labor. As I was telling guys at work, a bunch of them gathered around, and I told them, I said, everything you look at out in nature, every animal, they're struggling to live. Something tries to get them, and they're trying to live. I said, you don't see them commit suicide. You don't see them changing their genders.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
But see, because they're not perverted. But everything struggles. It is a struggle.
Sure.
Everything in the world's trying to snuff out the life of the different things. And life is a struggle.
Yeah.
Our Christian life is a struggle. I'm not telling you something Brother Ram hadn't told you. It's not in the Bible. It's right there. It is a struggle.
Yeah.
And so it takes birth pains to pass through, to get to that place where we want to be. It takes birth pains. It takes sorrow. It takes a struggle. It's not meant to be easy. If God wanted to, he could say, you know, you seek me, and when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll never have another pain in your body, or there'll never be another attack from the devil. He could have done that if he wanted to, but he didn't. Because it is a battle. And we're all in it right now.
Right.
Every one of us.
Right.
Every day. You know, life is a big battle that we win because of Calvary. But every day you have little battles that you must win. And if you lose one, it doesn't mean the war is lost. You just got to keep fighting. But it's a daily thing. So, but we must always remember that no matter what the struggles are, no matter how hard it gets, you have sickness in your body, you have troubles at work, whatever it is, no matter what the trial and trouble is that you're going through, God has promised that joy comes after this trial is over with. As Brother Bram said, you will possess the gate of your enemy after trial. You can't possess the gate of your enemy unless you have trial, a battle. But then once you possess the gate of the enemy, he cannot lock you up inside there and make you stay in there. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you if you have revelation.
Right.
So we understand that concept. Everybody wants the blessings of the resurrection. You talk to people out in the world, and especially so many people that, oh yeah, you know, Christian, whatever. But you don't ever see dying out in their life. You don't see them doing anything to push the world away from them
right.
So that they could have a closer walk with God. They just want to have the blessings. They want the blessings of the birth of what Calvary brings to us, but they don't want to die themselves. And you know, the scripture tells us that we have to suffer with him. If we suffer with him, we will reign with him.
Yeah.
We know that the scripture tells us that. But see, death is required in order to have life. If you eat anything, it has to be something that was once living to give you strength, right? You live from dead substance. The meat dies, the animal dies, the wheat dies, the corn dies, right? We live naturally from something that was once living. And we live spiritually because Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us. And that's how we live. See, God wrote it in nature, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in nature. And we know that. And so, it requires a death to get there. And so, we realize we have to be identified with the death of the Lord Jesus. And so, joy comes after we've died out to something. Just a little bitty thing, maybe a little temptation that comes your way. And if you fall for that, you're going to have misery from it. But if you can overcome that, you'll have joy. And that just happens on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a month. You may have a sickness come to your body, and that's a trial, that's a temptation. But if you can overcome that, then joy comes.
Right.
Promise. God is, listen, I keep saying this. God's not the problem. His word's not the problem. Right? It's what we do with his word.
Amen.
How we treat it. How we open up avenues for it into our lives or don't open up avenues in our life.
Right.
And it doesn't take very long for us to understand and realize that when we don't open up the avenues for the word in our life, there's a price that comes to pay afterwards.
Amen.
So, joy comes after we die out. Joy comes after we overcome the temptation and the trial that comes our way. And as I said a while ago, dying is not easy. Neither is a birth. It takes pain. But God never told us that it would be easy. It wasn't easy for him. It wasn't easy for the prophets. It wasn't easy for the apostles. It wasn't easy for all the saints through the ages. And it's not easy for us because it is a struggle. But we're guaranteed by Almighty God, the one that wrote this word, the one that or spoke this word and has written and has done the things that he has, the one who brought us here, the one who started a good work in you and will finish it,
yeah.
Right? That same one has promised that with every temptation, everything that comes your way, he will provide a way of escape for you. He said so. Trials is training.
Right.
You know, we don't think of it like that. Woe is me, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. But trials, everything that comes your way is a tool in the hand of God. Because God is God. God has control of your life. You're his child. He's teaching you, training you, correcting you. And if you say he's not, then where does that leave you? Where does that leave him? He's God and he knows what he's doing and he has complete control of your life and he uses things as tools to mold you and make you. And a lot of those tools we bring on ourselves by the way we interact or don't interact with his promises.
Yeah.
But it's all in his hand. And we just have to come to the place, you know, the scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. And know, you know what? I know he sees me. And I know he knows that I'm but dust. And I know that he knows the sickness I have in my body or whatever I'm going through. I know. And you know what? It takes a revelation to understand this, but when you know you've got pain and sickness in your body, and you know he can take it away, and he doesn't, then you have to back up and you have to come to a realization and a love for him to say, you know what? If he runs over me with a bulldozer, I still say he's right.
Yeah.
And we've got to come to that place.
Yeah.
That Brother Tim, if we do have to have surgery, you know, we've got promises there that he'll heal us. But if he doesn't, I'm still serving him. He's still right. He's still never done me wrong.
Amen.
I've failed him many times, but he never failed me.
Right.
Because I know that whatever happens by the time I come through this trial on the other side, joy comes in the morning. Because he's promised I'll have it. But if you can just catch the inspiration of the cycles and the way these things work, that you can have healing here. You can overcome this, have the right attitude, receive this word the right way, and you can have inspiration and have victory now in this life. And maybe next week come down with something else, because it's a training.
Sure.
Trials and testings are trainings. We must remember that. And we must remember God is our tutor. He is our Father, and he's got the Holy Spirit as a tutor. To lead us and guide us and teach us and train us. Because he has an outcome for us. And he knows that in order to get that, he's got to be involved in our lives.
Sure.
This is why parents and children, you should not buck against the leadership of your parents in your life. Because they have an outcome. And they're responsible. God's responsible. Can you believe that? God is responsible for getting you where he wants you.
Yeah, right.
And God does not want you a failure.
No.
God wants you to be an overcomer.
That's right.
To stand him through ceaseless ages in the glory. And he's obligated to get involved in your life to try and bring you to that outcome.
That's right.
He's responsible for that. And he does it. But how does he do that? Through everything that happens in your life, through the word that comes, through the experiences you have, God has all of those things there in his tool pouch to use to help you. We've got to come to that. We've got to quit thinking about, oh, I'm just, you know, things. No, it's God.
Right.
And if God didn't want it, it wouldn't be. But if he wants it, then it must be needful for me. It must be needful for you. Since he's allowing these things to go on.
Right.
That's why I love that when Brother Graham said that woman's baby had died, drowned, or whatever it was, and the military was going to fly him over into Europe and back just so he could go pray. People over there saying that Brother Graham was going to come and pray for the baby and raise it from the dead. Brother Graham said, let me go out and pray about it. And the Lord said, don't touch it. Leave it alone. Leave that baby alone.
Yeah.
When he's talking to the woman later, she said, was it because I didn't have faith? And Brother Graham said, no, you had great faith.
Yeah.
Great faith that the baby was resurrected? No. Great faith because God told you no, and you still love him and you still serve him.
Right.
And God has told me no many times.
Yes.
And he's told you no many times. And there's times he said yes. But you know what? In life, most things that we desire, we get told no. Am I right? Because God knows that most of the things that we would want for ourselves would destroy us. And you may not feel that way about you, but for me, I know most of the decisions that I've wanted that God wouldn't let me have would have destroyed me. And he knew it, so he wouldn't let me have it. And I have to say now, thank God. Thank God for that. It's all tools in the hand of God. And so, we have to have temptations and trials. We have to have birth pains. They're synonymous. I'm trying to show you. This is a birth pain, to birth a healing in our body, to birth an experience, to birth whatever it is that you're going through, and ultimately life itself. To leave this world and be birthed there, there's birth pains and there's dying out and diminishing on this side that it can come that side.
Yep.
So you want things to happen in your life. You want to see God in your life. Well, then there's something that's got to die for that to happen.
Right.
Your unbelief has to die that you can have faith for your healing. To quit listening to the lies of the devil and all those things and realize that God has a way of escape for us in every temptation.
Right, yeah.
Every trial, every temptation. He's promised. And your faith, unbelief, won't see that promise, won't see that route of escape. But faith will always see the way of escape to overcome that trial and temptation.
Yeah.
With everyone, every trial, every temptation, God provides a way for you. But this world and the things of this world and unbelief keeps you from seeing that way.
Right.
But God has promised there is a way with every temptation.
Yeah.
Do you think God is going to send you out to battle and not provide victory for you? He's always going to have victory out there for you. He's promised. And it's the words of that song this morning, Anna was singing there just a little while ago. She was talking about it there in that song. So we have to face temptations. And with them, there is a need for us to overcome them. Because if you don't overcome them, you fall for it, then you fall into misery and you just continue on or whatever. But there's a need for us to overcome every trial and temptation that comes our way. And God has promised He will always make a way of escape, even in your healings. We want to get there. We want to be in a resurrection. We want more of God in our lives. We want to see miracles take place. We want to see our families saved. But how do you get there? There's a dying, a birth pains that has to happen to get to those promises of God.
Yep.
Right? He's done the work, but on our part, there is always something we have to diminish in that the faith of God and the promise of God can come forth.
Yep.
Always. Because that's the cycle. That's the way it works. So how are you going to get there? How are you going to overcome? You're going to overcome by finding that way that He's provided with every temptation. It's there. And we must catch it. The faith will catch it. Revelation will catch it. But the world snuffs those things out. Makes it to where you can't hear it, can't see it. But He's promised that we will. We'll get there by hearing His voice. It's the voice of His word that created this world, this universe, and even brought you here. It is by that word, by that voice of His word, that channel that it provides for you is your way of escape. When we get to the other side, our bodies are all changed. We're in the glories of the other realm. Do you think we'll struggle to hear God's voice then? No, we'll get to enjoy it all the time. But why don't we hear it so clear here? Because we're in a battle. And because there's all kinds of things trying to drown out the voice of God to keep you from being able to enjoy the promises He's given to you. We will overcome by the voice of God. That's why this end time, the voice of God recordings, I was telling somebody at work about that. You know, I remember the first time my wife wanted to order some tapes for me, and she was looking for the phone number, and she called the number for operator to ask for a phone number. And she's looking at me funny, but she remembers this. But anyway, she told me, she said, she called and she told the operator, she said, I'm looking for the phone number for Voice of God Recordings. And the operator said, you know, she thought, what? She was thinking. And she punched it in and she said, well, there is. There is a Voice of God Recordings. Because that's what happened in our day.
Right.
The voice of God. To a vindicated ministry that no man could do.
Right.
But God did. We overcome by that word. By that voice. He sent His word and healed them. Faith in the word of God. And so, a lot of times people make a mistake and they think something is God, or they think something is God speaking, and they think something is the voice of God, and they've made a mistake and it's not. And so a lot of times we think of great mighty events, mighty happenings, things that go on, You know, even like in Pentecostal realms and all that, oh, we had the Holy Ghost fell and all these things and great big loud meetings and great big things. And a lot of times people are going on and say, oh, that was God, that was God. And maybe it was to God to some degree, but just catch what I'm trying to share with you. A lot of people think it has to be some great thing, some great event. You know, but in the days of Elijah, I'm just reading last night and the Lord directed me to this. In the days of Elijah, when Elijah was running, Elijah was in stress. He was under pressure. And you remember he got fed for a while and he went and he wound up in a cave. And the Lord came and spoke to Elijah and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, Lord, I've been zealous because they've killed your prophets. They've done all these things and I'm the only one zealous. It's kind of the way we feel. We look out and we just desire to be able to share and talk and fellowship with people and nobody wants it. Even people that I work with that are religious people, they go to church all the time, but church to them is not what it is to us. Because they don't want the word. They want the excitement or the joy or the singing or something like that. But when you get to the word, your peace doesn't come back to you. There's no reciprocation there. The conversation begins to turn dead. We just want to be able to, and we find out, we feel like we're the only ones. We're the only ones that believe this, like Elijah. Lord, I'm the only one. Of course, God told him, said, no, I've got 7,000 still that's not bowed to the image of Baal. But the Lord tells him, says, you go out and you walk out to the front, out to the cave or whatever. And the scripture said the Lord came, and you'll find this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, if she wants to bring it, she can, or whatever. But the scripture says that there was a great mighty wind that came. And that mighty wind broke the mountains, and it took rocks, and it broke those rocks into pieces. A great mighty, mighty wind struck a mountain and broke rocks into pieces with Elijah present. Do you hear me? And Sunset Mountain, and that whirlwind comes down and breaks the side of the mountain out, and rocks cut the tops of trees out above Brother Branham's head and all those men that were there. I got a picture of where those rocks were blown out of the side of the mountain. Great wind come down and rent the mountain. And the scripture said, but God was not in that whirlwind. That's what he said. It's not saying God wasn't the one that did that. It's not saying God, but catch what God is saying. A great mighty wind, and yet God wasn't in it. There's great things that happen. We all look at these mighty things that have happened in this ministry and say, oh, that's God, and yeah, it was God, but God wants you to know that's not what I want you to hear.
Right.
That's not what I want you to focus on. The scripture said, after that wind, there was a great earthquake. After, you know, Brother Branham, 1964 earthquake, where Anchorage, Alaska, just a few days after those angels come to him, and they headed toward, you follow the path, that picture of the angels in the cloud, and you follow them, I've done it, and they were headed right toward Alaska, and then sometime later they had that earthquake there. Judgments, the beginning of sorrows. Judgment happening. Elijah at present. And a great earthquake. And by the scripture said God wasn't in the earthquake. Then the scripture goes on and says, and after the earthquake there was a fire. A great fire. Everybody wants to, oh, fire, fire, fire. Look, Hawaii's burning up. Fire! Fire! But God wasn't in the fire. We know God has his hands in all that. But what is he saying? In the days of Elijah, What does he want you to catch? Not the great things, but the still small voice of Almighty God. Not a loud voice, but a still small voice. And it was that still small voice, that's where Elijah got his commission to come out of hiding. That's where Elijah got, when he was beat down and felt like he couldn't do nothing and he's running for his life, that's where God spoke to him and sent him out, coming out of hiding, to go and deal and anoint Elisha to be prophet in his stead and Jehu to be king and all the things like that. It wasn't when he had the mighty wind or the earthquake or the fire. That's not where Elijah got his commission from. But when he got that little, still, small voice. Are we in the days of Elijah? Amen? A still, small voice. After all of those things, that's when God spoke. I want to ask you a question. Does the spoken word of God have to be screamed out or yelled out in order for it to work? It doesn't. Right? It doesn't have to. We know that there is a shout. That's loud. There is a voice. There's a trumpet. Those are loud. But there's a still small voice. And God's word does not have to be screamed or shouted. It doesn't have to be great big things. And I'm showing you that in the cycle, after all these things happen with Elijah, and we've seen these things happening, there comes a time when what we hear, the commission of God, comes from a still small voice. After all those things. You know, God wants us to be so sensitive to his voice that we can hear it even in the midst of extreme noise. Extreme noise. Even when the world is doing the things they are. You know, in radio communications, the circuits inside the radio have to have something called sensitivity and selectivity. You have to be so sensitive that you can reach out there and grab the faintest signal and amplify it so you can hear it. But when you do that, you got to be careful not to amplify all the other stuff. So you have to have sensitivity and selectivity. And it turns out the same circuitry in a radio that does it does both. In the same experience, listen, Brother Branham's the one that told us that science makes inventions that follows the pattern of what God's doing. So radio tells you, somebody so far away, so faint, with all the noise and stuff going on out in the EMI realm, you can reach out there and you can pick out one little signal and you can reject all other things and tune in on that one thing. Now, if they can do it in science, then we can do it in God. We also have the ability now, with noise-canceling headphones, that we can put those on so we can hear what we need to hear and cancel out all the nonsense.
Right.
We use them at work because of noise of equipment and all those things. But you see, if science can do it, so can we. If science can take us out of the Earth's atmosphere, away from gravity, then so can we, spiritually. And so, we can block out all the background noise. How many knows that the world is screaming at you? You know, you holler, scream, you make something loud when you want to get people's attention, right? That's why it's a shout, voice, trumpet. But not to negate what we're seeing here, that God wants us so sensitive that we can hear that still small voice, even in the midst of all the nonsense. Elijah had been hearing a lot of things, a lot of threats, a lot of things that had him scared and restricted and so forth, but then God spoke. God spoke and brought him out of that slump. God can speak to you. How's he going to speak? He speaks through his word. And that word will bring you out of your slump. And when you hear that still small voice that comes from God, it'll bring you to a commission and you'll be an overcomer. But you've got to seek after the voice of God. You've got to be looking for that. So, the world is just screaming at us, hollering at us. Gay agenda, socialism, all that stuff, screaming it at you, forcing it at you. And in the midst of all that, God wants us to catch that still small voice.
Right.
Because the voice of the spoken word, even in a whisper, is still the creative word of God.
Amen.
And can overcome everything Satan has to offer, no matter how loud that it is. So God wants us to be able to hear a still small voice, but we have to learn to listen for that voice. And when you want to learn to listen for that voice, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be tuning in your ears to listen to it at? You're not going to hear it from the world. You're not going to hear it from whatever comes out of Washington, whoever's running for president. You're not going to hear it on Facebook. You're not going to hear it on YouTube. You're not. The things that this world is so caught up in, and we spend so much time with people, are just, you're not going to, if you want to hear the voice of God, you got to go to the place where God's speaking. And of course, God can speak out of all kinds of things. God can speak in a sunrise.
Right.
Have you ever heard a sunrise? You know, water, I think I heard this one time, comes to mind. Water evaporates, and waters the whole earth, and you never hear it. You never hear it go up. Brother Branham talks about that little piece of dew laying there in the morning.
Yeah.
And as the sun comes, it begins to glisten because it's rejoicing, because it knows that it's going to go up from where it fell from.
That's right.
He's talking about us. That as the sun, this is the rising of the sun, this message, as it rises, that we begin to rejoice and begin to reflect that light that's coming upon us, because that light is going to take us where we fell from.
Right.
It's going to redeem us back. But you don't hear that evaporation. God can speak through a sunrise. God can speak through the birth and the cry of a little baby. God can speak through the death of an old man. He can speak however he wants, but the point is to seek after the still small voice.
Right.
I have had God give me sermons from a conversation of people who aren't saved.
Sure.
I've had him most of the time out of sermons I hear, or scriptures I read, or conversations about the word. God can speak in so many ways, but the point is to seek after and learn that voice.
Amen.
And then tune in on it and hone in on it, because we live in the hour that we must do that.
Amen.
There's noise everywhere, and we must learn to tune into that voice, that word, and hear it, because there comes your victory. There comes your way of escape.
Right.
Through that voice. And it speaks of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That you must have. God can speak through all kinds of things, but we have to pursue after the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
And saints, we have to do that with a passion. We can't halfway it. God knows. God knows when we are halfway. Does he want to take second place? He deserves first place.
Right.
And we've got to give him first place. We got to have a passion and a fervency, like in the Song of Solomon. Have you seen the one whom my soul loveth? I got to find him. I got to find him. That's speaking of us, the bride in the end time. She's searching out and going to the watchmen, going to the preachers. Have you seen my Lord? I got to get him. I got to find him. Like you come here, Brother Tony, Brother Daniel. Have you seen my Lord? I got to hear him. I got to get to him. I got to find him. We've got to hear him. Got to hear that voice. Find him. Through all the noise and all the things and all the nonsense, We've got to come in and find that voice, because that's where our victory is. I just want to hear his voice. I just want to inquire in his temple. I just want to see and behold his beauty. That's our rapture. That is our rapture. Just to behold his beauty and to hear that voice. So he wants us to be able to seek after those things and get desperate. And you can't do it playing around. If we're not desperate, we will not seek after him. And this world destroys our desperation for God.
Right.
And at some point, you know, I think, remember in the scriptures where he talked about those hideous creatures with hair like women. And those creatures to torment women, Brother Brim said, who cut their hairs and all that thing, because those evil spirits have convinced women to take their clothes off and cut their hair and do all these things contrary to the word. And those women felt, oh, like I'm liberated. And they felt so wonderful in the presence of the spirit that's convincing me to rebel against God's word. And they feel so wonderful about it. But on that day, they'll look at that spirit and realize it was a deception. Torment. I left that thing rob me of my possibilities of what I could be in God, and I let it do that to me. Now it's a hideous thing. Satan don't want you to see how hideous it is right now.
That's right.
But on that day,
that's right,
it'd be hideous.
Yeah.
Brother Bram said, if you could just see what some of these devils look like. One of them, I think, said it looked like Alleyoop. Go look it up. The world has all these spirits and all these things that destroys your desperation. And we've got to come to the realization someday and say, you know what? These things that I thought were comforting, these things that I thought I could just come home and relax and spend my time doing this, they were a deception to me. They were getting me off track. They've been nothing but a canker. We have to come to that place. Why? Because that's not the voice of God. That's distracting us from the voice of God. And the voice of God is not great things, but it's that still small voice in this hour, after the mighty things. In this hour, we must hear that still small voice to get our commission to go and do what God wants us to be, what he wants us to be. So I'm still talking about birth pains. I'm still talking about overcoming a struggle that we might come through and break through. Will everyone need it right now? I need it in my body. I need it in my family. We need it in this church. You need it in your family. You need it in your body. And if we've got all these needs, why are we desperate? Because we've been subverted, distracted. But we've got to be serious with God, because he knows. He has to be number one in our lives. And you know what? He makes you prove it as the bride of Christ to say, I love him and I'm the bride and he's my bridegroom. He makes you prove your love for him. Not that he doesn't know. It's a paradox. Not that he doesn't know. But you know, what's forming in you is him. And that part in you has to come to know, like Jesus had to come to understand who he was. You've got to come to the place where you realize, I'm a son of God, and I don't feed on this stuff any longer. You've got to come to that place. And by fleshing that out, proving to God in you that he's number one in your life. That's what we have to do. Seems like a paradox, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's got to become more important to you than houses or lands or money, family, fame, prestige, sports, hobbies, your own reputation. We can't put anything in front of God.
Yeah.
You can say, Brother Tony, I'm not after money, popularity, women as a minister. You may say, you know, I don't have any of these things like that, but maybe you have a reputation you want everybody to look at. You can't put that before God. Because God will make sure you get in a situation where you have no reputation, or you can keep it, but fail at the temptation trying to keep it. It sounds, but God will ask you to do things. God will lay before you things because he wants you to prove that you will not hold anything in front of him. He and he alone. And he makes you prove it. He makes you flesh that out. And you know what? That's what he deserves. He used Brother Daniel and Sister Vicky as an example. Brother Daniel deserves her love. He deserves that nothing else is put before him. It goes with any couple, right? That's right. Nothing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Even your own health, sometimes, you try to protect it. And God wants you to follow him first. We got to search him until we find him. Not just once, but daily. Because love, passion, lives daily for the one it loves. It's not hit and miss. Something wrong if it hit and miss. Brother Ram said that honeymoon should never stop. What's he telling us? We should not be like the first church age and lose our first love. That our fervency, our love, and we need to come back and step back and analyze things and remove from our life the things that makes us not pay attention to our mate. You can make all kinds of excuses in the natural. Well, you know, no. You have a responsibility, and we as Christians have a responsibility to put him number one. You must search him and find him and hear that voice. And here's the thing about it. No man can do that for you. Your ministry can't do it. Brother Branham couldn't do it. No man can search that out for you. No man can hear that voice for you, find that unction for you, get to that place in God for you. Because see, God wants to be in a secret place with you. A secret place for you and him. And nobody else can be in there. So the ministry, all we can do is try to introduce you to the Lord and get you to a place where you hear his voice, and so that you can personally enter into that relationship, and then God will do things in your life, and the preacher only have nothing to do with it. But though we want to, if I could this day, if God would say to you that everybody in this congregation and your friends and family, the ones you love, those in your circle, that today, every one of them can receive what they need to make it. But I must take you from the earth today. I'd say do it right now.
Sure.
But God don't do it that way.
No.
But I want to see you prosper. I want to see you healed. I want to see you full of the Holy Ghost and having victory every day. And so does Brother Daniel. And all we can do is point you to the Word and do everything we can to get you to where you hear that still small voice in your walk. And then everything is going to take care of itself. So that you pursue after the Lord. That you follow after Him. No man can do that for you. It takes you searching. Even though ministry wants to, we can't. Another question for you. Probably getting tired of me hearing questions, and I'm not asking you to answer, but it's provoking you. Can a man describe to you a voice of someone you've never heard, and from that description, you'd be able to go and listen to those 1,000 men and recognize that voice that somebody told you? No. I have a guy at work that works, well, he used to work for me. His name's Paul. I could try everything in the world to describe to you what Paul sounds like so that when you run into him, you go, now you're Paul. You're Paul because Brother Tony told me what you sound like. Is that possible? I can't make you hear that voice of God. You've got to hear it yourself. I can do everything I can tell you as much as I can, but you have to come to that place where you seek out and find that voice of the Lord. Your life. And it needs to be more than you need. If he's more than anything else, then you will, because if you're not desperate enough, you won't.
Right.
If you're not desperate enough, you let things, you know, distract you, it's because you're not desperate.
Sure.
But I want to tell you something. When your life, when your flesh, when your body, or your family, or something strikes, see, as Brother Harold Beckett preached the sermon, a storm is going to strike you one day. Something comes, and if we're a child of God and we're not getting in tune like we should, God will let things come to your life to make sure you start getting serious, because he's there for you. He's ready. But he cannot do it for you. You've got to seek out and prove to yourself that he's more important to you than anything else. You've got to make a free moral agent decision that this other stuff has been deceiving me. It's the voice of God. It takes you searching it out. It makes it hard. I wish I could tell you birth was easy. I wish I could tell you the way to receive healing for your body is easy. And it is easy once you catch that revelation. But without it, it's hard and it's a struggle. But listen, brother, sister, if there's a deep calling to you, Brother Brandon said, if there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. If there's a deep call, if there's something telling you that he's your sacrifice and your healing's there, then respond to that. Respond to that thing that's calling your heart. You wouldn't even know it unless there was something in there to respond. You wouldn't even be listening to the Word of God if you didn't have something in there that wanted it. Because that's what Brother Graham said. When a person sends away their day of grace, they'll no longer even want God.
That's right.
You have a desire this morning for healing, it's because it's there for you.
That's right.
You have a desire today for your family to be saved.
Yeah.
That's there for you.
Amen.
If, as one place Brother said, whatever God leads your soul to believe, that he has given to you. Because once faith strikes your heart on it, you'll get it. Man, can't do it halfway though. We've got to seek out and find that voice and know that voice in our life daily. Even when everything else is burning down, seek him and find him. That's what people do on their deathbeds. And I'm not talking about necessarily, it's not a route to go to wait till the last minute, but I mean even believers on their deathbed, and things, they find God, they reach out and they get to that place where they need to be, that they should have been, as Brother Brent said, all along. And so, you know, I had a cousin, and my Aunt Mary sat here, was really good friends with her, good close, you know, because they, my cousin, and she died. She got cancer in her lungs. And I'm just going to tell you this because I noticed it, okay? And things happen in our lives for a reason, so we, you know, she can tell about it. But we had a, she was raised, and the time in church and stuff was a holiness church. Dressing right, women dressing right, acting right. And we had a family reunion one time out at Mary and Richard's place out there in Oklahoma, and a discussion came up about holiness. And she took a very strong stance against it. I don't think God, you know. And when she did, now this only happened once or twice, but when she did, something in me said, she messed up right there. Something happened right there. I didn't know what, but I felt like she passed the point right there. God, that's just, you know. And I didn't, you know, I'm young Christian or whatever, but I noticed that. Well, a couple months go by, she comes down with cancer. And I didn't go over there many times to visit her in the hospital. She'd been listening to tape, but then she wouldn't get serious about it. I'm trying to get her to listen to tapes. I try to take over and give her tapes to listen to, CDs or whatever it was, to listen in the hospital room with her mama preacher. We'd come in there and turn the machine off. See her shaking her head? Try to get that voice to her. And a woman preacher would come in there and turn it off so she couldn't hear it. And I finally went in there one day, and My cousin looked at me and she said, and she advanced, just not much time left, and she looked and she said, "Tony, where is he? Where is he? Where's God?" Brother, sister, that'll sober you. Because you would give it to him if you could. Then play around and wait around until it's too late. And we're not the one that says, you know, God wants us to seek him. She says, "Where is he?" I couldn't tell her. My wife's grandmother. I just started working at my job in 29 years ago. Just a new employee there. But she come down sick. And they went into the hospital, put her in there, and they opened her up and found her full of cancer. She was always, "Woe is me, I hope it's not this, I'm sick," and blah, blah, blah. She just really, to me, didn't ever have victory in her life. Her name was Rhoda. They went in there and found out she had all that stuff inside her, and they just sewed her back up. Wasn't going to try and do anything. And so my wife called me and told me. And I, as should, have a burden, which we have burdens for those around us, right? And I walked over into a little bitty room, and I bowed my head. And I said, "God, if you want me to go over and talk to that woman, you're going to have to make a way for me. Because I'm at a new job. I can't just go in there and ask off or whatever, you know." In just a couple of minutes, my boss came by, and I had mentioned to him that morning that my grandmother, or my wife's grandmother, was having surgery. He comes by and he said, "What about your wife's grandmother?" So I told him. I said, "Here's what they said." He said, "You need to go, you go." And before I left work, I got on the phone. This was 4 cell phones. And I called her. I said, "I'm coming. And I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want anybody in that room with her. I'm going there, and I'm going to talk to her and her alone." And I did. Because it come to me. Like I said, when the Spirit moves you, you move. Right. And I'll tell you what, if God don't move you, you can't move. Right. If God don't reveal discernment to you, then he don't. But if he does, he does. Right. And I'm just saying, you know, when that come, that my mind went back to Elijah. And you know, "Here, take this staff, and don't you salute nobody, don't talk to nobody, go straight in there." And that's what struck my heart. And so I called her. I said, "I'm coming, and don't let nobody in there. I'm going to go straight in there and talk to her." And I went in that room with her, laying there, defeated, no desire, just "Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm gone," you know. And I said, "Rhoda," she was Baptist when she was younger. And I said to her, I said, "Rhoda, you know what you did as a child, as a young child in the Baptist, that was fine. But I said, it's no good for you if it's not real today." And I feel inside, you know, as a human with emotions, you feel terrible to have to shake somebody down. Sometimes as a preacher, we feel terrible. We have to shake people down and try to get their attention. And I felt terrible because I was in there and she had just this little hope. "Oh, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I gave my heart to the Lord." But no evidence in her life like that. And you knew that she was hanging on to something that wasn't there. And so I felt terrible to go in there. But I had to say, "Listen, you got to have something real right now." Right. And I said to her, as I remember, I was backing out. And I was pointing her like this and wrote it, "You've got to pray. You've got to call on God." And I felt terrible, but I knew I had to do that. I'm talking about emotional terrible, but I knew I was saying what God wanted me to say. "But you've got to do that." And it's like, "Don't leave that look." But I knew that I couldn't do it. She had to call out on God. She had to reach and touch him. I went back the next day. Same conversation. Left the room saying the same thing to her. A day or two, I think that was a Friday and a Saturday. I didn't go on Sunday, Monday, whatever. But somewhere in that time, she got a hold of God. And I think along about Tuesday, we had somebody in the family, a minister, Brother Rupert or Gilbert one. And they went in and family went in there, and sons and all the daughters, they're all in there. And they said, my wife, I think, or maybe my mother-in-law said, I wish you'd have been there. Said he would go to read a scripture and she would quote it back to him. And one of the sons, Mike, he said, she was chanting. She was speaking in tongues, I guess. He said, yeah, she was chanting. But I don't know how many days it was, but I finally went, got a chance to go back in there. There's this woman, you know, as I said before, she was, woe is me, you know, and when I opened that door up, and I stood there and looked at her for just a moment, and when she turned and looked at me, and her face lit up, and she said, I'm going. And I could see it all over her. And I said, I know you are. Because she got a hold of God, and you can see it. And that's what I'm talking about. Not just once, but every day in your life, you got to find him. You got to search him out. And it doesn't take great big things, but it takes a consecrated life to say, you know what? I'm going to find that still small voice in this era of all this nonsense. That's what I'm going to find. That's what I'm looking for. How would you, another question, how would you describe a good life here? A life without any troubles? Good job, you know, nice home, no sicknesses, successful. Is that what you would? A life without trials. That's what most people, that's what our natural flesh would say. But brother, sister, a good life in this world is one wherein God is correcting us, molding us, making us, and making us ready for eternal life. That's a good life. And we've got to get into the sink of God's program to understand what a good life is. No man can be your Holy Ghost. Only the Lord can be your Holy Ghost. And once you know his voice, you can hear it in scriptures. You can hear it in Brother Branham. You will hear it in me. You will hear it in Brother Daniel. You will hear it in a baby's cry. You will hear it in the sunset sunrise. You will hear it in a man that's on his deathbed. You will hear it in everything. Remember Brother Branham telling the story about the little boy that wanted to see God? Went to his mama. I want to see God. She says, well, honey, I can't tell you. I have to go talk to Sunday school teacher. Went to the Sunday school teacher. I want to see God. She said, go talk to the pastor. See, I want to see God. Goes to the pastor. I can't. One day he was out fishing with an old man. And he told the old man, he said, I want to see God. Can a man see God? And the little boy, he had him come up. He hugged him and set him in his lap. And he said, all that I can see is God. And here's what Brother Rim said. Brother Rim said he had so much of God on the inside that he could see him on the outside. And I see God in you. And I see him in other things. Amen? But the key to victory in this life is the God on the inside, the voice of God that speaks and leads you and guides you every day. And you know, whenever, I'm sure Brother Daniels will vouch for this too in his own experiences, but you know, you go on a missions trip, you're going to minister. You're not letting your mind go off into all kinds of stuff. You focus. You focus on the word and on the environment of, because you want to go and you want to move in and deliver an environment there of the word. And so as you're approaching those things, you don't just dabble in this and let your mind go and drift off and do all these other things. No, you consecrate your thoughts and your life to the word. And that's what we must do every day. This is it. This is it. As Anna was singing that song a while ago, let me die. All my desires, let me die. Let me lay it down. Right? And as all the kingdoms are falling around us, let him be lifted high. When this kingdom's falling, let him be lifted high. When the world is falling, and the nation, and this nation is crumbling, let him. Why? Because he's the only one that's going to be left. Amen. It's all over with. It's him. Amen? If you're a child of God, then you have something in you. It's a gene of God. And there's only one thing that'll quicken that's in you. And that's the word of God. Nothing else will quicken it. So you can have a seed gene of God in your life, and if you're not, the word's not speaking to you, it won't be quickened. So you can go do this, you can go do that, go do something else, but that doesn't quicken the word. That doesn't quicken that life in you. It's the word of God that quickens your life. And we must keep that environment of the word around us at all times. In an hour and an age where everything's available to do anything else you want to do, we've got to say no. We want God's voice.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Makes no difference where you are in your walk with the Lord. But there is a dying out and a surrender that you must do each day. And so you may say, well, Brother Tony, I just feel like I just don't have victories in my life. I don't have what I feel like I need to have. Well, if there's a deep calling, respond to it. Amen. Respond to that deep call. God's got it there for you. What's hindering? And I think I can safely say that every one of us, nobody has to tell you what it is that's in the way, what it is that you've not surrendered. But right now, when the Word of God has driven back things, and you know, and with a clear, sane understanding right now, this morning, of what's going on in this world, and the way God deals with his people, you commit it to God right now. If you repent, you say, God, I am sorry that I've wasted so much time. I've wasted these different things. And God, I'm asking that you would help me to push the world aside and seek after and find that voice. If you'll do that, and you do that 100% pure heart, God will answer you. But when you rise up from here, you've got to put in flesh what you promised to him today. Lord Jesus, as you've heard this morning, God, I have delivered from my heart what you have placed there. And Lord, I know your prophet said that there needs to be a desperation. After the token message, we realize that the seriousness of this hour, we should have desperation. And Lord, we can't make it happen ourselves. But God, if we just stand back and look and analyze the lateness of this hour and the things and the opportunity, Lord, I think it would cause us to be desperate. So I ask God this morning that as your people here, they're your people. They're not mine. God, they're yours. And if you have spoke to them this morning, in their hearts, they want more. They want a greater success. They want healing for their body. God, they're not asking that the trials and the training go away, but God, give them victories. And we know, God, that you promised you will. And so, Lord, we just pray this morning that through their faith, they just reach out and they lay hold upon eternal life, as Paul speaking to Timothy. May we lay hold on eternal life. Reach out and grab it. Seize it. Be like Jacob that morning when he wrestled with the angel until he come back a changed man. I'm asking God that you would just help your people reach that place. Wrestle it out until they know something's happened in their life and they've got victory over the battle that lays before them. Because you promised, Lord, that with every temptation, every trial that comes along, you provide a way of escape. And Lord, even if that means that in this life we don't receive healings for our bodies, but we still have that way of escape, and that is to resurrect on that other side in your likeness. We ask God that you confirm your promises to each one today as they reach out to you. Seal it up in their hearts. Ask God.